Archer will say good morning or good chodesh. Let's begin. So today's daf is Lamed Beis. We're going to pick up the top of Lamed Beis. Three lines in, last word on the line. V'cheres Hadriani. So we'll say Hadrianic cheres, Hadrianic earthenware. So remember again, this was one of the items mentioned in the Mishnah that a Jew, Rashi says over here, Elu Dvarim Shel, Mishnah says, Elu Dvarim Shel Dekochom, Asurim V'Yisroin Yisroin, no. These are the things from an Ovid Kochavim that you cannot use, and there's a prohibition of Hanah. You can not only can you not use them, you can't get benefits from them. And one of these items was this Cheres Hadriani, or Hadriani, that this Hadrianic earthenware. So my Hadriani, so we'll say, what does this mean, Hadrianic earthenware? This is actually quite interesting. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Cheres Shel Hadrianus Kesar. This literally refers to the earthenware of the Emperor Hadrian, right? The Caesar Hadrian. So let's say, so remember again, we know Hadrian from an infamous perspective, because remember again, it was under the Caesar Hadrian that Hadrianic persecution began in the aftermath of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And again, most notably, that was the era of the Asara Haruge Malchus. That was the era of the 10 martyrs, as well as an incredible number of edicts regarding religious persecution. So what does this mean, Hadrianic earthenware? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Kehadrukez, Cheres Shel Hadrianus. Kiyasir of Dimi Amar. So what does this mean, Hadrianic earthenware? Amar, listen to this. Karka Besula Haisa, Shelo Avda Adam Meolam. So what happens? So under the Hadrian devised this particular method for winemaking. And you'll see why this was important. He would take virgin soil that was never worked before. So the idea being that soil was filled with incredible vitality. What did he do? Venata, he would go ahead and plant vines. Veramile chamra begulfi chiyuri. And he would go ahead and plant vines. He would make from it wine. He would go ahead and put that wine in brand new earthenware vessels. Gulfil chiyuri. Chiyuri literally means white, but in this context it means brand new. Brand new earthenware vessels. Umaitzi lehu lechamrayu. And what would happen? And ultimately, again, he would go ahead and keep the wine in there for a while. Umitbaru lehu lechaspi. And afterwards, they would remove the wine from the earthenware vessels. And we'll say, what happened? The earthenware vessels had gone ahead and absorbed the flavor of the wine. So there's a number of combinations over here. Number one, this idea that the wine itself was very strong because it was made in virgin soil, or it came from virgin soil. Number two, this was brand new earthenware vessel. Brand new earthenware vessels, that's what they're both saying. No priors, right? No prior absorptions in the earthenware. Therefore, by definition, the only thing that's absorbed in the earthenware itself is this wine. So there was a very heavy and intense absorption. So what would happen? After they emptied out the wine from the earthenware, umit buruluhu bechaspi, they would break the earthenware vessel into shards, vidaru bahadayu. And the Greek soldier, or the Roman soldiers, would take these shards with them wherever they went. This is amazing. Wherever they went, they would travel, they would take one of these shards with them. And whenever they wanted wine, what would they do? They would fill the container with water, put the shard into the water, and the absorptions from the shard would create for them wine. Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, the Rishon Shalanu, Kishlishi Shalahem. And what's amazing there, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says, their wine was so strong that a third use of that shard was the equivalent, ultimately, again, to first tier of our wine. So what I see here, what this means? Meaning the third time of using that shard to reconstitute wine, that wine that came from the third usage was as strong and as good as our first tier wine. Okay, so what I say, the idea being what? This is the Hadrianic earthenware. So the Hadrianic earthenware was earthenware that had a very strong wine infusion, and therefore, again, you can't use it, and you can't get hanaf from it, because it in of itself has the status of yayin nesech, has the status, ultimately, of idolatrous wine. So the Gemara says the following, Yibay lehu. The Gemara now asks, we'll say, a side question. Ma'u lismoch b'hen kari amita. Fascinating question. Can I use, let's say, a piece of this Hadrianic earthenware, can I use it to prop up the leg of my bed? So what's the shiloh over here? So the Gemara says, "Rotze bikima idei davar acher shari or aser." We'll say we've gotten through. We've already established that I can't go ahead and drink and get benefit from yayin esach. We've also established that I also can't get benefit from this Hadrianic earthenware. It will say, so can I go ahead and get benefits from it, but in a non-consumption fashion? So here's an example of, I have a piece of this Hadrianic earthenware. I don't want to drink it. I'm not using it to reconstitute wine. I'm not even using it as a receptacle for a liquid. I'm using it to prop up the leg of my bed. Is this permitted or not? So I'll say this is what Chazal term as rotzei b'kiyumo ayidei davar acher. I want to use it through some other means. Non-consumption means, but a usage means, is this mutter or is this asur? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Ayidei davar acher. It's in the shorter lines of Rashi, about five lines in. Yisrael rotzei b'kiyumo shel yayin esach. So the Yisrael, on one hand, I will say, I want the existence of the yayin esach. Right? Why don't I exist? Because the Yayin Esach is in the shard. I need the shard. However, again, v'lo b'shvilo, not because I want the wine, ela b'shvil ha'cheres u'lesmicha. I want the earthenware. Rabbi will say, you see, in essence, I want the earthenware, but what's absorbed in the earthenware? The wine. So, in essence, I want the wine, but I don't want the wine because I want the wine, I just want the wine because I need the earthenware. So the shayla is this permitted, is this type of usage permitted or not? So Tashma, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan, Chad Aser, V'chad Shari. So we'll say it's Mechalokis. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan, one said it was Aser, one said it was Mutter. So in the parentheses, he says over here, V'hilchasa, V'hilchasa. So the Agos Tzion says the Rush takes this out. But Hilchasa Kimanda Aser, Meisvei, Sumare Zekasha. Listen to this. Hadardurin V'harukuvos. So we'll say, Dardurin are leather jars, Rikuvos are bottles. Shalov de kochavim, that belong to an akum. Yain shal yisal kanospan, if a Jew keeps his wine in either of these types of receptacles, either in the leather jars or in the bottles, so what's talacha? Asr b'shtia muter b'hanna. So you can't drink it, you can't drink, so meaning if a Jew keeps his wine in one of these receptacles, so ultimately the wine itself is prohibited from consumption, but it's muter b'hanna. You're permitted to go in and get benefit from it. Heyed Shimon ben Guda, Lifnei ben Osher Rabbi Gamliel. So we'll say Shimon ben Guda gave testimony in front of the son of Rabbi Gamliel. And the testimony was, Al Rabbi Gamliel, about Rabbi Gamliel, Sheshasa mimenu ba'ako, that Rabbi Gamliel actually had wine in one of these type of receptacles, either the Dardurin or the Rikuvos. He kept his wine in one of these items. And what? And he drank the wine. This happened in Akko, and he drank the wine. V'lo hodulo. And I will say, they did not agree to Shimon ben Guda's testimony. Now I will say, what this sounds like is that they were disputing that Rabbi Gamliel did this. That's what it sounds like. Although we'll examine that in just a little bit. So fine, we'll say that's the first part of the Braisa. So what it seems, okay, nudos shalav dekochavim. We'll say nudos are leather flasks. So remember again, as opposed to dardurim, which are leather jars, this is a leather flask. So, nudo shel ovdei kochavim, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Mishum, Rabbi Yoshua ben Kifusai Aser, let's say that again. Nudo shel ovdei kochavim, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Mishum, Rabbi Yoshua ben Kufusai, Aser la'asos mehen shtichen l'chomer. So we'll listen to this. This is actually quite interesting. And this is more relevant to our question at hand. So we'll say, let's say I have a leather flask of an akum. So to keep my wine, and that we've already established, is Aser. What about taking that leather flask and making it into a saddle for my donkey? So we'll say, so this is our shayla. Rotze b'kiyumo ayidei davar acher. I understand that the item is prohibited for use in a particular way. What about if I want to use it in a different kind of way? What's the status? Here, the leather flask of an akum. I know that I can't keep my wine in there. I will say because of the yayin esach absorptions. But can I go ahead and make it into a saddle for my donkey? So what's the, so that's the shayla. So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes Rav Shimon Gamliel, a name of Yoshua ben Kufusai, who says that it is aser. I will say first wide line. Vikatani daser. So this is our case. This is a case of where I take an item that is normally prohibited because of Yayin Esach. I can't store my wine in there. But I don't want to use it for my wine. Instead, I want to use it for something else. And we see that what? That it's Aser. So we'll say that would seem to go ahead and answer the question that what? That if I take one of these Hadrianic earthenware shards, I cannot use it to prop up the corner of my bed. Because again, that's still considered to be illegal usage of a prohibited item. So the Gemara says, Ula Tamech. But using this same logic, kankanim shel ovdei kochavim lisseru lemizban. I will say, watch this. If you're going to tell me that I can't take the nodos, I can't take the leather flasks of an Oved Kochavim, and I can't make it into a saddle, which tells me that what? Rotze b'kiyumo a'idei davar acher is going to be asr. Say the following shalat. Based on that, I shouldn't be able to purchase kankanim. I shouldn't be able to purchase the jugs of Oved Kochavim. I will say, now what did people used to do? We know, can I purchase the jug of an Oved Kochavim to use it for my wine? So that we've already established that the answer to that is no. What people used to do, I will say, what Jews used to do was as follows. I would purchase these kankanim, for what purposes, Rabbi Hussein? For a planter. A planter, you know, I'm not going to use it to store my wine, but again, I get a good deal. You can't pass up a good deal. I get a good deal on the jug of the Ovi Kochavim. I'm not going to use it for any of my liquids, but I'll use it as a planter. I'll use it as a fruit bowl. I'll use it for whatever. Just not for wine, not for liquid. We know that this was done. I will say, using this logic, lisseru, right? Lisseru lemizban. I will say, using this logic, then what? It should be asr. Why? Because I will say, it would appear that we hold, rotze b'kiyumo a'idei davar acher, that if somebody ultimately, again, wants to use a prohibited object, but not in a prohibited way, in a permitted way, the use of the object should still be permitted. I will say, what's the raya to that? The raya to that would seem to be that I can't take the node and make it into the saddle. I can't take the leather flask, ultimately, again, of the akko, make it into a saddle. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, I shouldn't be able to purchase the jugs either, use them even as a planter. Maishna nodos, maishna kankanim. I will say, why is it that Rabbi Yeshua ben Kufsai said, I can't take the leather flask and make it into a saddle, yet it seems to be that I can buy the bottle of an Oved Kochavim and use it for something else, as long as I'm not storing wine in there. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Amarav Amarava Gzera Shema Yibaka Nudo Vietlenu Vietperenu Agabe Nodo. We'll say, oh, this is something very interesting. What's the concern? Let's say I buy the node, I buy the leather flask from the Oved Kochavim, and I make it into a saddle. Fine, Shalom al Yisrael. Then I will say, what happens? I get a hole in my node, in my wine flask. We'll say, what could I do? I could cut a piece from the saddle. And you ultimately patch my node. That's the concern. And then again, ultimately, that's going to be significantly problematic. So because even though once I make the node of the akum into a saddle, it is still, essentially, it could still be used for node replacement parts. That's what I'm concerned about. And with pashtos, leather flasks, sprung a leak here and there. I could patch it from my saddle. That's where it's going to be problematic. That's why Rabbi Yeshua ben Kufsai said, you can't go ahead and purchase the node of the Oved Kochavim, even if you're going to make it into a saddle. Ulaman da'amar, rotze b'kiyumo, a'idei davar acher aser. So I'll say, but one second, going back to the opinion who said that by the Hadrianic earthenware shards, you cannot go ahead and use it to prop up the leg of the bed. Because rotze b'kiyumo, a'idei davar acher, if you want the existence of the prohibited item, even though you're using it in a non-conventional way that is still aser, maishna kankanim desharu. Why is it, Rabbosei, that Tana allows me to buy the bottles of the Oved Kochavim, and as long as I'm not using it to store liquids, I'm using it as a planter, then why does he say it's okay? Rabbosei, listen to this. And here's really where it gets to the crux of the issue. Amar lecha, hasam leisei leisura be'inei, hacha isa leisurei be'inei. Rabbosei, literally translated, over there, the iser is not be'en. Right? The iser is, what's the right word? I'm sorry? Extant. Oh, very nice. Right? The iser is not extending. The iser is not extending. The iser itself is not in existence, we'll use. Same thing, right? Not in existence. Masha'in came by the Hadrianic earthenware. The iser is in existence. We'll say, what does that mean? What it means is as follows. In a regular utensil of an akum, so there's a prohibited absorption. Is an absorption. So what do we say? What's the halacha? The halacha says, listen, as long as you're using the object in a way where that absorption can't come out, it's fine. So you want to purchase an old wine bottle from an akum and you're going to use it as a vase? Fine. No problem. Why? Because bepashtos, you're using it in a dissimilar way, and we're not talking about an isser that is mamish in existence. We're talking about an isser that ultimately is absorbed. I would say, when it comes to Hadrianic earthenware, the absorption is so strong. The absorption is so strong that it's considered to be as if it's Be'en. It's considered to be as if it's mamish in existence, a tangible isser. And therefore, again, the halachos are more strict concerning this particular item, which I'm both saying makes sense, because remember, again, what do they say? We see from this Gemara that how are they using this earthenware shard? I will say they were making multiple batches of wine from this one shard, which tells you ultimately, again, the strength of the absorption itself. Because under normal circumstances, we assume that if an item has an absorption, very often those absorptions are extracted one or two times in. When they're using it multiple times over, that means that the blia, the absorption itself, is exceptional. So because of that, Rabbi saying, when it comes to the Hadrianic shard, we treat it as if what? You are dealing with mamish, real yayinesech, ben, right? Yayinesech that's in existence. Because of that, the halachos are more strict, and therefore, again, we paskin that even to use that shard for some other purpose, like propping up the leg of your bed, will be aser. But that is a unique halacha. Rotz bikima deidav achra be aser only by the Hadrianic shard, but by other utensils which absorb yayin nesech, or stam yenam, I should say, ultimately, as long as you're using it in a non-normative way, it will be permitted. V'lo hodulo. So also remember, again, the Mishnah read, this is from the Braisa. This is when Reb Shimon ben Guda went ahead and gave the testimony. What does Lashon here? Heyed Shimon ben Guda lefnei ben Osh Rabbi Gamliel. So Shimon ben Guda gave testimony to the son of Rabbi Gamliel that Rabbi Gamliel went ahead and drank from these dardurin or rekuvos, from either these leather jars or from these bottles that belonged to an akum, but that had Jewish wine in it. So Yishimon ben Guda gave testimony that Rabbi Gamliel went ahead and drank from these items. V'lo hodulo. So the Gemara says, Ramini, we'll ask Akasha, Yain haba perikuvos sh'ov de kochavim. We'll say, if ultimately, again, you have wine, that Jewish wine, kosher wine, that comes in the bottles of an akum, Asr b'shtia muter ba'ano. So you're permitted, you are prohibited to drink it, but you're permitted to get hana. Heyed Shimon ben Guda, lefnei b'no shel Rabbi Gamliel. But yet Shimon ben Guda went ahead and gave testimony in front of the son of Rabbi Gamliel. Al Rabbi Gamliel shashasa mimenu. That Rabbi Gamliel actually drank wine from these utensils. Ba'ako v'hodulo. And I will say again and again, they accepted the testimony. So the Gemara says, one second, my lo hodulo. So I'll say, so which one is it? We have two contradictory braises. Did they accept the testimony of Shimon ben Guda, or did they not accept the testimony of Shimon ben Guda? To which the Gemara says, my lo hodulo dekat mar hasam kol siyato aval bno modile. We'll say, what does it mean lo hodulo? Hodulo means it was a whole group of people who heard this testimony of Shimon ben Guda. So we'll say, lo hodulo means the collective group of rabbanim who were there did not believe the story. The son of Rabbi Gamliel did believe the story. By saying the other possibility is Guda l'chud, the Guda l'chud. Well, say, if you notice again, there's two different spellings in the two braisos. In the first braiso, ultimately, again, it's Shimon ben Guda with an aleph. In the second braiso, Shimon Guda with an ayin. It could be, Rabbi say, that's what? They didn't believe Shimon ben Guda, the aleph, but they did believe Shimon ben Guda, the ayin. Which I will say, it's just a metzias, that maybe, again, one individual was more reliable than the other. Okay. Va'oros livuvin. So we'll say, remember, again, next item in Mishnah, quite fascinating, is oros livuvin. We'll say oros livuvin means that if you find an animal that ultimately, again, appears, has a hole by the heart, we'll discuss the nature of the hole. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? So the Gemara says over here, oros livuvin. So if you go ahead and you find a hole by the heart, we're concerned that the heart was ripped out of the animal while it was still alive, which in and of itself is a form of idolatry. It's a form of idolatry. And therefore, again, the animal will be aser alts takrovas avodos kochavim. So says the Gemara of Tanur Rabbanon, ezhu or lovov. So we'll say, how exactly can you tell if this is an animal used for avodah zarah? Meaning, what's the nature of the tear? Ezu or love of kol shekuro kineged aleif. Number one, Rabbi Osai, the tear or the hole has to be opposite the heart. That's number one. Vikador kamin aruba, and Rabbi Osai, ultimately, again, it's circular like a window. So it has meaning, as we'll see, as opposed to a slit. It's circular in nature like a window. Yesh alav koret dam aser. if there is, Rabbi say, literally like dried blood, then that shows us the reason that's also Rabbi say is because if it's dried blood, that indicates to us that this was taken out of the animal while the animal was still alive. So Rabbi say, we've seen the criteria. Now criteria number one has to be opposite the heart. Number two, it has to be circular like a window. Number three, there has to be some dried blood on it. Amud Beis, Rabbi say. Ein alav koret dam. We'll say if there is no dried blood there, mutter. Then ultimately, again, it's mutter. So we'll say, look at Rashi, tap Rashi just a moment. Ein alav koret dam. Achar hev sheito irabo. So we'll say, we assume that if there's no dried blood there, that that tear must have taken place after the animal has already been skinned. Kach v'lo lavodas kachav. And we'll say, therefore, again, we attribute it to be just stam a tear. Fine. Amravuna. When is that so? Lo shanu ela shelo molchu. We'll say that's only true if the hide has not been salted. Ava molchu aser. But if the hide was salted, it's aser. Why? Ema molchu avar aser. Because we'll say it's possible that what? There was dried blood there. But what? The salting removed the dried blood. Fine. Reb Shimon Amiel Omer, Bizman Shakera Shelo Agul aser. Mashach mutter. So we'll say. So listen to this. So the Gemara says as follows. So Reb Shimon Amiel says, when the tear is circular, it is aser. But if it is like a straight line, mashach means a straight line, like a slit, then ultimately, again, it will be mutter. So it says the Gemara as follows. Amen. So what's Rav Yosef? He says, the name of Rav Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, that the halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel. Namely, again, that you could, it's only called the Oros, the Vuvin and Fatar Bosai, if there is a circular hole and not a slit. Amr Le Abaye, so what's this is actually fascinating. Abaye says, halacha mechlal de pligi. Now, Bosai, in general, whenever the Gemara has to make a statement that the halacha follows X, that usually means that what? That someone is arguing on this statement, and therefore the Gemara feels the need to make a declarative statement that the halacha follows a particular opinion. Because remember, if nobody's arguing, then what? There's only one opinion. So it says the Gemara, says Shmuel, he says Abaye, Shmuel, the fact that you felt the need to say the halacha follows Abaye, is follows Shem Gamliel, indicates to me that somebody argues. Who's arguing? Suppose this is a fascinating discussion. Shmuel says, Amalei, my nafkamina lachamina. So Shmuel says, what do you care? We'll say, what does it mean? What do you care? Look at Rashi. My nafka lechamina, bein chalukin, bein lo chalukin, halacha kimoso. What does it matter who argues? I just told you that the halacha follows Rav Shem Gamliel. Meaning, what matters, says Shmuel. Shmuel says, what matters, Abosai? The bottom line. What matters is, who does the halacha follow? The halacha follows Rav Shem Gamliel, that the only time that it's prohibited is if there's a circular hole. What does it matter who argues? To which Abaye responds, Amrlei, Gemara Gamar, Zemurta Tehei, I came to learn Gemara. What are we doing, Zemiras over here? So I'll say, so what does that mean? So I'll say, Abaye says something in a very profound way. Abaye says that at the end of, look at Rashi, Amrale Gemara Gamar, I came to learn Gemara, Zemurta Tehei, should it become Zemiras? Petmiya, Abaye Tamido Sharav Yosef, the Kamarle Atamalam Denu Lomar Halacha Kimoso, Uteki Zemer Ba'alma, the Ein Cholkin Halacha Lamali. So what Abaye was saying was as follows. In order to have the sugya klar, right? In order to have the sugya down clearly, you have to know the progression of the sugya. And the progression of the sugya requires knowing the various opinions, understanding the various opinions, and then getting into who the halacha follows. But ultimately, again, just to skip to the bottom line, so kind of undermines the mesorah part of the process. So we'll say, so Abaye Singer, so Shmuel saying, it's almost like, a fundamental like machlokis and ultimately again an approach to learning. Shmuel says the most important thing is the bottom line. What is the halacha? I told you that Shem Gamliel. Abaye says, yes, of course the halacha is important, but also understanding the progression and the opinions is important as well. Okay. So we'll say weiter. Basra nichnas avodas chamotu. So next statement of the Mishnah was that if you see an Akum walking in to his idolatrous house of worship with a piece of meat, and you get him before he walks in, so the meat is not yet considered to be consecrated to Avodah Zarah. So we'll say, so for example, you could buy it from him, you could use it, obviously we're not talking about consumption necessarily, but you could purchase it from him as long as you get him before he goes into his house of Avodah Zarah, because before then, again, it's not considered to be Avodah Zarah yet. So the Gemara says, Man Tana, who is the Tana? We'll say, it's clear that the Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Elazar. That Gosium changes this, the Gilna Shas changes it to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, Dik Rabbi Elazar, Ha'amr Stam Machsheves Avodos Kochavim, La Avodos Kochavim. I will say this is actually amazing. So Rabbi Elazar holds, the Rabbi will say that the Stam Machsheva, when an Akum has in mind that he's going to give something to Avodah Zarah, I will say that Das was already there when? At the time of the Shechita. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Stam Machsheves, Rashi says, V'chishachta Avda La Avodos Kochavim B'Shechitaso, V'nesra D'Shechitase Hi Takruvasa. So what Rabbi Elazar holds, that once an Akum is going to bring an animal to Avodah Zarah, he doesn't wait to dedicate that to the Avodah Zarah until when? Until he gets to the house of worship. But when does he dedicate it as Avodah Zarah, Bosai? Already when? From the time of the Shechita. So therefore, again, according to Rabbi Elazar, Bosai, if you were catching the Akum walking into his house of Avodah Zarah, even though he hasn't walked in there yet, you have to assume that what? That meat is already Aser. That meat is already Aser. And therefore, again, so Bosai, so Rashi is pointing out, our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Elazar. Because our Mishnah says, we assume that he only is makdish, or he only consecrates his meat for Avodah Zarah when he gets into the idolatrous temple. But if you catch him before he walks in there, then Lemaisa, again, this meat is not Aser Bano. Rabbi Elazar says, no, Stam Machshevas Avodah Zkochavim is, if you see him already going in there, by Pashas, from the time he shechted it already, it's Aser Al Zavodah Zkochavim. Vayotze Aser, Vibnei Shukizivche Mesim. But on the other hand, if you get him coming out, which will say, well, if I see him coming out with the meat, then already it's Aser, because we assume that if he's coming out of the house of Avodah Zarah, then at the end of the day, it's already been consecrated as Avodah Zarah item. My timer, we'll say, what's the reason for that? Because we'll say, essentially, what this means is, it's impossible that it's not an offering to Avodah Zarah. In other words, if you see an Akum walking out with a piece of meat from his house of worship, I will say, it's impossible that that is not Avodah Zarah. Of course it's Avodah Zarah, meaning what else is happening with meat that is coming out of the house of Avodah Zarah? I will say, now again, remember, I want to point out, it could be that he's bringing it out for his own consumption. That's fine. The same way, Lahavdu Elef Alfi Rive Havdalos, we have karbanos that are offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of which some of which we are also permitted to eat. So the fact that he's taking it out and he might eat it himself is fine, but Lamaisa, once it's coming out of that house of Avodah Zarah, then what Rabbi say? Then again, that is definitively Avodah Zarah, therefore the Jew can't get any benefit from it. Money, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserihi. It's Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserihi, because what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserihi say? Disan, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserihi, Omer, Minayin letakrovas Avodah Zacham Shem Metameh Ba'ohel. We'll say, how do we know that Avodah Zarah is Metameh Ba'ohel? We'll say, it's actually amazing. How do we know that Avodah Zarah is essentially metame like a mace? The same way that if you have a corpse under a roof in an ohel, in a tent, so that corpse goes ahead and spreads tuma to anything else under the same roof. How do we know that Avodah Zarah does the same thing? That Avodah Zarah communicates tuma via an ohel. Shne'emar vayitzmedu lebal par. Literally, again, about saying in Bamidbar when they're going ahead and unfortunately fall prey to Baal Par. I'm sorry, this isn't Tehillim, but referring ultimately to the episode of Baal Par. Vayis medula Baal Par, they literally attached themselves to Baal Par. Vayochlu zivche mesim, and they ate of the carcasses of the dead. What do you see in this pasuk? It's comparing Avodah Zarah to a mace. Ma mace metame ba'ohel, just like a mace, Sobosai, goes ahead and communicates tuma in an ohel. So too, again, Avodah Zarah, Bosei, also communicates tuma via ohel. Bosei, now what does this have to do with our conversation? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Ma meis metame ba'ohel, umina. And Bosei, we take this comparison one step further. Ma meis aser ba'ano, ki degamina b'sanhedrin, v'tama sham miriam, sham shame egla rufa, ak takroves avodah zarah asura ba'ano. I will say we take this comparison one step further. So remember, the Pasuk in Tehillim establishes a connection between a corpse and Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says, just like a corpse is metameh tumas ohel, so to Avodah Zarah is metameh tumas ohel. We will say in our sugi we take it one step further. Just as a mace is aser bahana, you cannot derive any benefit from a corpse, so to what Rabbi Yehuda saying, Avodah Zarah will also be aser bahana. Therefore, again, when the Akum walks out of his house of worship with the piece of meat, we assume that that piece, not we assume, we it's not just an assumption, I will say. It's a, for us, it's a definitive reality that halacha lemaisa, again, this was used for Avodah Zarah, and therefore, again, this asher bahana. Good. Next part. Af, b'hahochin l'tarfos, asurin laseis v'laseis. You know, so I'll say the next part of the Mishnah was a fascinating idea. That if you catch a Gentile going on his pilgrimage, right, he's going on his pilgrimage ultimately again to his Avodah Zarah temple, wherever it is. So what's the halacha about saying? On the way to the pilgrimage, the Mishnah says, you can't do business with them. What's the logic? The logic is because if you do business, he's going to give thanks to his idol when he gets to when he reaches his destination. So this really is a throwback to the first Mishnah, in the Masechta. However, again, once he's coming back from the pilgrimage, you're permitted to go ahead and do business with him. Now, Bosse, now watch this. This is really fascinating. Amr Shmuel, Ovid Kochavim Maholich Litarfus Bahalicha Aser. So Bosse, listen to this. If an Ovid Kochavim is on his way to his Avodah Zarah pilgrimage, so when he's on his way, you can go ahead and you could do business with him. Right? I'm sorry, you cannot do business with him. Aser, why? Da'azul umode kamei avodas kochavim. Because Rav say ultimately, again, since he's on his way to his pilgrimage, when he gets there, he's going to give thanks to his idol. However, bechazora, we'll say on his way back, if you catch him on the way back from the pilgrimage, mutter. You can't do business, Rav say. Why? Listen to this. My dahava hava. We'll say, my dahava hava means pilgrimage is over, right? Religion, okay, we did that. Check, right? Done, right? Check, I already gave thanks to Avodah Zarah. Now we're back to regular life. We're not concerned. Rav say, what this really means is as follows. He's not turning back to go back to the Avodah Zarah to go ahead and give thanks again. So therefore, by definition, once the pilgrimage is done, it's done. And we're not concerned that he's going to now go back and give thanks to his Avodah Zarah. Well, see, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, it's in the Rashi, it doesn't have its own Divrei Maaskel, it just has a Hey Gimel, Hachi Gar Sinan. Amr Shmuel, Oved Gochav Maholech L'tarfas Ba'alich Asher Da'azul Umod, B'chazari Mutar, Mai Da'hava Hava. Okay, so he goes on, he says, Yisrael, we'll say, listen to this. What about a Jew? Yisrael holich latarfos, balicha mutter, dilma hadr bei velo ozil. Wow. We'll say, listen to this. What about a Jew who Nebuch is on his way to a pilgrimage to Avodah Zarah? What about a Jew who is on his way to Avodah Zarah? So we'll say, what's the halacha? So Shmuel says, you can do business with him when he's on his way. Why, Rabbi Osai? Why? He may turn around. He may turn around. The Jew, as much as he says that he's going on his pilgrimage to Avodah Zarah, maybe he won't carry through. Maybe he'll turn around. Dilma Hadrebe, Velo Azil, Bichazara, Rabbi say, watch this. On the flip side, if you caught him after the pilgrimage, Aser, you cannot do business with him. Why? Rabbi say, Kevan, top of Lamed Gimel, Kevan Da'avik Ba, Mahadar Hadar Azil. Because Rabbi say, since this Jew has demonstrated an allegiance to Avodah Zarah and has forsaken his religion, so we'll say, such a person like this is going to have an incredible level of dveikus, and we're concerned that what? That what? That he's actually going to turn around, go back, and give thanks to the idol. We'll say, you hear this? Such is the power of a Jew. Such is the power of a Jew. See, we'll say, at the end of the day, before he makes the pilgrimage, there's always hope. There's always hope. Meaning, again, even though he's on his way, he packed his bag, he's on his way to Avodah Zarah pilgrimage, Rabbi Osai. As long as he hasn't gotten there yet, we always hold out the hope that he could turn around. So you could do business with him, because we don't automatically assume that he's going to carry through on the pilgrimage. But you know, Rabbi Osai, the strength of Klal Yisrael is that we're an Am Kshe Oref, we're a stiff-necked people, and we have incredible resolve. That works both ways. So the problem is that, unfortunately, once he's gone ahead and gone over to Avodah Zarah, we know, at least for the little bit of time that he's there, every Jew comes back. Everybody does tshuva. It's just a question of when. We know that he's going to have a stark connection to this Avodah Zarah. So once he comes back, you can't do business with him, because we're literally concerned that, unlike his Akum counterpart, if he gets a good deal, he will what? he will turn back around and go to the Avodah Zarah. Ivatan Yisrael Holech Tarfus Bein Balicha Bein Chazara Aser. But one second, we have another Brisa that says that what? That if Yisrael is going to the pilgrimage, right, whether he's going or whether he's coming back, Aser, he is not, you're not permitted to do business with him. So Amravashi, so which one is it? The first Brisa says when he's going, you can do business. On the way back, you can't do business. Second Brisa says whether he's going, whether on his way there or way back, you can't do business. It's not a contradiction. Amravashi, Kitanya hi Yisrael Mumer Devade Azul. This second Brisa is talking about a Mumer. So we'll say, remember again, a Mumer is someone who is mamish aduk ba'avodah zarah. There's an, meaning he's meshugal adavar, right? Meaning he's exceptionally corruptly pious, right? The idea is that he's mamish embedded in idolatry. So we'll say, so for this kind of person, for a mumer, enachinami, you can't do business with him on the way there, nor can you do business with him on the way back. Why? Because we're concerned on the way there or on the way back, he's going to give thanks to his Avodah Zarah. Astami Sarabose is just struggling theologically. On his way there, you can do business with him. Why? Because there's always the possibility that what? That what? That'll turn around. On the way back, the problem is, I will say, once he's already done the Avodah Zarah, we have to be concerned that if you do business with him and he gets a good deal, he will go back again. I will say, I want to be clear. That doesn't mean we're throwing in the towel on this Jew. You don't throw in the towel on any Jew. Every single Jew is holy, and every single Jew is beautiful, and every single Jew is special. And even those of us who are broken, we fix ourselves at some point in time. For some of us, it takes a long time, but we fix ourselves. We fix ourselves. But what it's saying is at this moment, when he's demonstrated his fidelity and allegiance to the Avodah Zarah, so he can't do business with him on the way back out of concern that he may go ahead of us saying, what? Turn back around and give thanks to his Avodah Zarah. So we'll stop over here. I'll share with you a short idea on the parasha.